Hour number two of Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. And, Jimmy, we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for a longtime friend of the program.
Well, we do. He's one of the best in the business. He does a terrific job with ESPN, and that is Chris Lowe. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing terrific, guys. And I tell you what, anytime you get a chance to be the undercard for the likes of David Liggins, Brent Hubbs, Brian Cox, R.A. Dickey, to quote your favorite rapper, Jimmy, Ice Cube, it was a good day.
How'd you know that was my favorite rapper?
Hey, I know a lot about you, man. We go back a ways.
Yes, we do. Chris, I do want to ask you this. The SEC is opening the availability for athletes to return June the 8th. Do you believe that college football season will start on time this year?
I believe it will do so, Jimmy, in spots. I think the SEC absolutely plans to start on time. I think the ACC does, the Big 12. And I don't want to speak for every conference because I've talked to commissioner administrators just about every league. I think that's the plan. But, you know, getting kids back on campus is a big first step. It's not the end all. But to get them back on campus where you can, you know, supervise them. And I talked to several people, Coach Fulmer, Nick Saban, several coaches, you know, and they all say that more important to just get them back and throw them into workouts is to get them back on campus and have them supervised and assessed and tested, where you've got your trainers, your head physician, you've got your whole medical staff right there in place to sort of see what you've got, you know, get a baseline and go from there and deal with everything. But I've really not talked to many people at all who don't expect to play college football. Now, none of us have a crystal ball, and I'll quote Greg Sankey here. Think about what we know now about the virus and everything that surrounds it that we didn't know a month ago. What might we know 2 or 3 months from now that we don't know now?
I saw where the AAC commissioner said that they would play on even if there are a couple teams that might not be ready to go. Do you think the SEC would do the same? If 10, 12 teams are ready to go, but if you were not, you think the SEC would go forward?
I don't think there's any question they would. And I think that everybody, if you talk to every – and I've talked to ADs at just about every place or somewhat every school. I think that's what they want to do. And I think they all plan to be ready to go, Jimmy. And, you know, it may look a little bit different, you know, and even though the eighth is when they all can come back, I mean, some teams, it may be more in waves that players come back. And I talked to some coaches, actually, head coaches, who have said they've already heard from parents that are concerned, and I understand this, about what the plan is, and that some kids may not come back on June 8th. They may wait. They may wait until later in the month or into July. I bet you'll have some of that at school spread out across the country. So it may look a little bit different from school to school. I know everybody wants to know about fans. I don't think that's on the front burner right now. I think getting the kids back on campus, testing them, making sure they can get them in a safe environment, see where they are, and they'll deal with the fan issue about fans in the stands. They're wearing masks. They're sitting on every other row, all those things. I know they're all looking. Schools are all sort of studying those models right now. But I think right now the key thing is to try to get the kids back on campus and make sure that from a safety standpoint, they can get them back into workouts and on the field.
Could you envision a scenario in which the SEC played conference games only?
That would probably be, Jimmy, a deal where you had at least half the country not playing. You know, where let's say the Pac-12 decides they're not going to play a big chunk of the Big Ten. But, yeah, I think they would. And I think fans would eat it up, don't you? I mean, you listen, I like to kid you all the time. You're older than I am. You go back longer than I do with the SEC. I think fans would love to see if that was the only alternative, everybody in the league playing basically everybody else in the league. You know, some football for football junkies is better than none. And I know that everybody I talk to in the league is fully anticipating that there will be football. Now, ultimately, the healthcare people, you know, governors, local government officials, are going to have a big say, you know, and we'll see once we get kids back on campus, not just athletes, but, you know, say UT, you know, or Georgia, Alabama, when students start coming back on campus in August, what does that do? Getting all those kids back together, is there a big spike in the virus cases? If that's the case, what do they do? How do they deal with that? So there's still a lot of unknowns there, but I think everybody has studied this pretty closely, been in consultation with healthcare and people who know a whole lot more about this, football coaches and ADs, and everybody's got a plan. And I think it's telling that you're going to have just really around across the country that just about everybody's coming back sometime in June, Oklahoma, July 1st. But, you know, this is going to be a societal decision, too. Talk to Scott Strickland, the Florida AD, and he makes a great point. He says, you know, in a month from now, in 2 months from now, are people around the country more comfortable going to churches, going to theaters, going to restaurants? If that's the case, I think that bodes well for college football, people coming back, whether it's 20,000 or 40,000 or 50,000, and going to games where you're around crowds.
Chris, what has it been like to have those conversations, just to hear the different vantage points as well as reaction in different areas where perhaps there's been more that have been impacted and affected compared to where perhaps the projections that were expected didn't materialize? What has it been like to just check in with different outposts around the SEC for you?
John, it's been very measured. People have been, you know, from ADs to coaches to commissioners, because we've all seen to this point people come out, whether it's been regents or governors or ADs or what have you, coaches, and make these blanket, broad-based statements on both sides of the equation that I think probably we're all going to look back on a month from now, 5 months from now, and say, well, what were they thinking when they said that? So I think everybody I've talked with, certainly the SEC, has been very measured. They want football to return, but they want it to return safely. They want the kids to be able to come back to an environment where it's safe to play and have a plan. Because everybody wants to know now, all right, what happens if your quarterback tests positive the week of the game, you know, or the left side of your offensive line tests positive? What do you do? How do you handle that? Well, and talking to physicians, friends of mine around the country, you know what their answer to that is? We'll plan for that, but we don't have to answer that question right now. Let's get them back. Let's test them. Let's see where they are, and then have a plan for that going forward. Because you're still talking over 3 months away until they're supposed to kick it off. So those are questions that I think patience right now is probably, as I talk to people, John, again, whether it's a coach, administrator, AD, is what they're preaching. Let's not make any hard and fast decisions right now. Let's work gradually toward getting the kids back on campus and coming up with a plan. And then when we have to make those decisions, a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, we'll make those decisions.
I would say that the vast majority of athletes that are going through this, college athletes, are pretty well versed when it comes to tablets, using their phones, social media, FaceTime, all of the video components of communications and just lifestyle. But what has it been like on a much lighter side to see some coaches that you might have thought be dyed in the wool become wizards of technology through this stage?
I talked to Kevin Sumlin a few weeks ago. Of course, Kevin was head coach at Texas A&M. He's in Arizona now. And he was joking. He said, I'd love to have a lot of little stock in Zoom right now. I think we all would we not? The whole country's using it in some form or fashion. But, even I was talking to Coach Saban in Alabama. Even when they come back, the players, and I'm sure every school is going to be like this, they still, early on at least, they can't have big groups of people together. So when they do their meetings, even though they're back on June 8th, they're still going to be doing the position meetings via Zoom. Because you don't want to get, or the team meeting, I should say, you don't want to get 100 guys back all together right at once. You got to be careful. So even with these kids coming back to campus, John, I think they're still going to be doing a lot of things virtually as far as meetings.
I guess Chris Lowe with ESPN. Chris, I saw where Texas has just announced that they're going to allow fans to attend outdoor pro sporting events limited to 25% capacity. Do you think, and then Iowa State has indicated they're going to sell like 30,000 season tickets, that's half of their arena stadium. Do you see that happening in the SEC where there will be limited capacities for these football games?
I'll say this, Jimmy. I don't think as we kick it off in September, you're going to see 80,000 or 90,000 people in the stands one way or the other. I mean, I don't think people will be as comfortable coming. You're just going to have fewer people who will want to come, who will want to risk that. B, I think you're going to have restrictions. And I was talking to Ross Bjork, Texas A&M's AD, about this. There are going to be all these mitigating factors that – and he said, listen, we're going to have to educate our fans. And he said, I don't really see a scenario, at least early on, where if you come in, you're going to have to wear a mask. If you're not willing to wear a mask, well, you can't come. Well, there's going to be some people who don't want to do that for whatever reason. So, and yeah, I do think initially there'll probably be restrictions on numbers or how close you can sit to people. I just have a hard time believing that on the first week of September you're going to see full stadiums like we're accustomed to seeing in the SEC, and I think there'll be a number of different factors why.
Yeah. Southern Cal quarterback JT Daniels announced he's transferring to Georgia. Your thoughts on Georgia getting the quarterback from the Trojans?
Well, how about Georgia and transfer quarterbacks? Yay and nay, right? they've lost a few, and now they're gaining one. You know, hey, it gives them a guy that's plenty talented, and knowing several people who are on that staff at USC and have coached on that staff previously and have knowledge of that kid. I mean, he's got tons of ability. And to bring him in to Georgia where, you know, it's not like they have a shortage of talent around the quarterback position there. I think this coming year, Georgia's strength that will be on defense. But, no, to get a guy that has played and has that kind of ability, I think you'll take him every time. And it's a new world, Jimmy. John, you guys know this. And the quarterback position, when you start talking about the transfer market, look what's happened the last few years and who has benefited. Those teams who hit it just right at quarterback, more times than not, seem to show up in the playoffs.
Man, just to quickly change the subject, this would have been Selection Monday for the NCAA baseball tournament, and knowing that there is a strong low family connection to the University of Tennessee baseball Volunteers, how tough has it been to miss out on 10 weeks of conference play and a trip to Hoover?
You know, John, in all seriousness, what a special team. What a special season they had brewing. I had a chance to go over and watch several games. And the balance on that team, the pitching staff, the kids that came through time and time again at the plate, and seemingly you were there for all those games. I mean, you taught me through most of those games, certainly the Round Rock Classic, we listened to you, but every game it was someone different delivering at the plate. It was a special season, and it was hard. It's hard for one low in particular. Mm-hmm. Who was a part of that program. But I know for every kid on that team, from Tony Vitello on down, that was a team in my mind. Having been around the sport, that was going to do special things this season. But I think the tone was set. I think they set the tone, or had already been set, but the way they went about their business this year and attracting some of the talent they are, I think you're going to see that baseball program go forward. We just got to, and let me add this, we just got to get the managerial staff. We got to get that managerial staff on, and I'm talking about the student managerial staff. We got to get them to tighten up a little bit, and I think things will be a lot better.
It's the only shortcoming, huh?
I mean, everything else is in place. The talent on the team, the coaching, the broadcast team, it's just that student managerial staff, we got to get to tighten up just a tad.
I know, Chris, that you've been working the phones hard, as you can tell with all you've been able to share in our conversation. But is there anything, what have you done if, for instance, without the travel that you would normally have put in at this point in time around the Southeastern Conference or around the landscape of college football, what has kept you busy outside of your reporting for ESPN?
I tell you what, if you come over to the Concord Cove in the mornings, you'll see all 200 plus pounds of me lumbering around past the fishing bridge trying to get my road work in. But probably put in more road work and more miles running, especially when all the gyms are closed. Now, the YMCA has reopened, which has been a godsend to be able to sort of, you know, split that up. But I've gotten outside more in the neighborhood, at the Cove, just, you know, doing yard work, things that in the past that I probably took for granted. And you know what? sometimes just getting outside and doing things, where it's going for a run, where it's working in the yard, that's as therapeutic as anything. And that's, I guess I've sort of rediscovered that over the last month or so.
I got one more for you. Your reaction to Tennessee having 24 commits.
You know what? That's a reflection of Jeremy Pruitt and the tone he set recruiting, all of his staff, that entire – and when you start talking about recruiting, well, Jeremy, you guys know this. It's a recruiting operation. It's not just one or two guys. It's a recruiting operation. And I think what Jeremy was able to build there when he got there, him on down, and the way they hit the phones, the way the relationships they've established with all the right people and key recruiting outposts, you're starting to see that now, because recruiting is all about relationships. And even if you can't go see them and bring guys on campus, relationships typically stand the test of time. And I think you've seen that with the work they've gotten done on the recruiting trail the last month or so.
Hey, Chris, always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for joining us, and you and your family stay safe.
It's always a pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Chris. That's Chris Lowe, does a terrific job with ESPN.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Chris joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.